How do you do? Mind coming with us? Destination the greatest. The road we'll follow is not an easy one, but it was traveled by a man who has learned what it means to have his heart and mind and life unshackled. From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells true stories of real people. For over 121 years, Pacific Garden Mission has offered the open secret of new life to the men and women of Chicago's streets. And for over 48 years, this, the longest-running dramatic series in radio history, has been offering that same good news to people around the world. Unshackled now reaches into every continent on Earth, and many of these true testimonies are translated and rebroadcast in several foreign languages, including Spanish, Arabic, and Romanian. And we are increasingly amazed at the way these programs have reached out into new areas, so that you may now be listening aboard an airplane in flight over South America, in a cabin aboard a vessel in the China Seas, in a dormitory room in Burma or the Philippines, in Africa, Korea, the West Indies, Australia, or almost anywhere in the United States and Canada. And we are constantly in awe at the response we receive from people of all cultures, gender, and age, telling us how their lives have been touched and changed by these true stories that make you face yourself and think.
Connor, I thought you'd be halfway to Bataan by this time.
So did I, Captain. Have you been down to the harbor?
No, too tied up here. It's a mess.
Oh, you should see it. There are thousands of soldiers down there waiting for boats. But there are only a few boats. And the Jap bombers are having a field day bombing the harbor area and every other part of Manila.
Yeah, I expect this building to be hit any moment.
Oh, Captain, the whole city's taking a pasty. Our defense is a mess. The ATAC can't get high enough to get at them.
Well, how's your detachment?
Ah, none dead yet. We still have 75 guys.
You're lucky.
Yeah, I know. But if we wait to be evacuated by boat, we may not stay lucky. What are the chances of our getting to Bataan by land?
Well, it can be done, but it means a long trip around Manila Bay and then back south into the peninsula. And as you know, that's where we're setting up a defense of ours.
Yeah. Question is, where are the Japs?
That's exactly the question. They're coming down from central Luzon, and we're not sure just how fast they're moving. The danger is they may reach the land end of the peninsula before you do and cut you off.
We still wouldn't be any worse off than we are sweating it out here in Manila.
Well, you're probably right about that.
Then I have your permission to try the land route, sir?
Sure, go ahead. All you have to do now is line up the vehicles. And good luck.
That was in December 1941, just a few days after Pearl Harbor. And this is the story of a man whose life included two great adventures. One of them was uniquely his, shared by only a few companions. It was an adventure involving great danger and hardship. The second adventure was quite different. It began some time after the first adventure had ended. It was a high and happy adventure, and will go on forever. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2525. Another true story from our classic files, the story of Clay Connor, right now on Unshackled.
Our detachment set out for Bataan. I knew just about as well as much about it as most people in the United States, that it was a jungle, almost no one lived there, and that it was where Frank Buck caught the largest python in captivity. But I was destined to know much more. We rounded up a few cars and trucks to make up a convoy. Oh, it was a terrible sight we confronted as a mass of humanity ran from Manila. The evacuation caused separation of parents and children, overturned cars, a mass of injured and dying. We made the trip around Manila by land. It was Christmas morning when we arrived. Our military forces were digging in on a, line stretching the entire 14 miles across the peninsula from Manila Bay to the China Sea. It was recorded as one of the toughest defense lines in history. We stopped the best Jap troops cold for more than 4 months. Then, the combination of short supplies, sickness, and the pressure of more than a million enemy soldiers broke through the line. It was time to get moving again. 7 of us made our escape.
Feeling any better, Connor?
Maybe.
A little. Where are the other guys?
They took off yesterday while you were unconscious.
Where are we now?
Oh, we must have made 20 miles before you passed out. The guys waited for a while. Then they figured you were going to die, so they took off.
I thought I was going to die, too. Malaria, I guess. The way I was shaking.
One of the guys had some Adabrin. He left it.
Good. Let's see if we've come 20 miles. That ought to put us pretty close to the Jets.
It sure does, buddy. That's their guns you hear. Not as much firing as there was, though. I guess they've gotten down to the mopping up process.
Yeah, if we're not lucky, we'll be mopped up, too.
Yeah? Can you travel?
Yeah, I better. Come on, let's get moving.
Sure is quiet.
Yeah, except when we move.
Cut bamboo. There's nothing worse for noise.
Near as I can figure, we're in the middle of enemy territory.
Yeah. And if we're going to get out of Bataan alive, we got to move through the whole Jap army.
You ever wonder what happens if we get caught?
Oh, name, rank, and serial number, I guess, then prison camp.
Well, let's not get caught. Let's keep watching for a road. There's supposed to be one somewhere up this way. Runs all the way across the peninsula.
There's the road, Connor.
Yeah, and loaded with Sunday drivers, look like. What this jungle needs is traffic lights.
You said it. We got to get across, and without being seen. The way the traffic's running, we may never have a chance.
Just have to wait for a break, I guess. These people must sleep sometime.
The break in the stream of Japanese military traffic was a long time coming. When it did, we ran hard and got across into the cover on the north side. We ran until it was pitch black and reasoned that we'd gone far enough. We crawled into some undergrowth, pulled some brush over us as camouflage, and exhausted. We slept sound during the night, and into the mid-morning, I was awakened suddenly.
Hey! Wake up! Not talk up. Yeah, that's better.
Thanks for letting me breathe. What's up?
Everybody in this part of the world, and all of them seem to be Japs. 2 patrols passed here in the last 10 minutes. They're covering every inch of ground.
Say no more. I'm awake. And if I start to sneeze, you've got my permission to cut my throat.
If either one of us sneezes while one of those patrols is around, they'll do the throat cutting.
Before we were able to get away, some of the soldiers passed within a few feet of us. Later, when they moved out, we scrounged around the area where they had been, looking for food. The filth on our faces aroused another enemy as we searched for food.
I'd hate to be a cat and have to live on the garbage the Jap army leaves behind.
Yeah. When these guys drop a handful of rice, it's a big deal.
I know. But I just found a bunch here on the ground, and you know what I'm going to do with it?
Sure, eat it.
That's right, buddy. I'm glad to get it.
You ever see the flies and mosquitoes this bad?
Oh, nope. I figure the war's a break for both of them.
What do you mean?
Oh, well, you put 2 armies into a jungle like this, and for both flies and mosquitoes, it's a smorgasbord, and I'm part of it.
Let's get out of here. We've got to find a mountain that's high enough and dry enough so we can be free of these things.
We climbed into the hill country, still keeping our cover. That forced us up the cliffs and through overhangs. And then there came a place where a slide of gravel, some 20 feet wide, had cut off our pathway.
You think we can jump across that gravel slide?
I don't know.
I do know. If we miss, we'll start another slide and go right down over the cliff.
Yeah, then we better not miss. I'm going to give it a try.
Okay. Here, give me your stuff. I'll toss it to you after you get over.
If I get over.
Yeah.
Here, take my pack.
Mm-hmm.
The lighter we are, the better on this jump. I never was great at track and field, but this is going to be the broad jump of the year.
Oh, good boy, Kelly.
Yeah, but I widened the gravel slide, too. Now you have further to jump.
Can't be helped. Here, I'm tossing you your stuff. Now catch mine, too. There you go. Now, keep your fingers crossed, Kelly. Here I come! I made the jump and missed the landing. The gravel, flowing like a river, carried me down to the lid of the cliff. And then at the last instant, I caught hold of a dead tree that still clung to the almost bare rocks that broke my fall. And I was working my way down, lowering myself a foot at a time down a 400-foot drop. Kelly found his way down by another route, and we'd moved on, looking for friendly Filipinos. When at last we found them, they took us to a hidden evacuation center. By then, I was a very sick man.
It is a bad thing. We do not have medicine here, but what can we do?
I think you're doing very well, hiding all of us up here, feeding us.
We do not feed you very well.
Huh? Well, maybe not, but I'm eating better than I would have been in the jungle.
Also, I am told better than you would in prison camp, and maybe you would be dead already. Many Americans die in death march.
Death march? What's that?
Prisoners were taken from Bataan and marched to POW camp, many miles away. Many men, very sick, no food, little water. Many die on the way. If you had been captured, maybe you'd die too.
We had been saved from a fate much worse than the jungle. But our circumstances at the evacuation center were not good. Men were dying all around me from malaria and dysentery. And somehow, I lived. And during those months of recovery, I began reading a little New Testament that Lieutenant Edwards gave me. Before I left, I had read it 7 times. Even so, there were many things I didn't understand. A number of years would pass before my understanding would be opened. When my strength returned, I began to organize guerrilla forces. There were many loyal Filipinos in the hills, but there were also those who were collaborating with the Japanese. The trouble was to know the difference between them and to avoid being betrayed. And during one of those missions, 3 of my buddies and I were almost killed or captured by the enemy.
Hey, look out! We're surrounded! The Filipinos and Japanese have joined forces. We gotta dig in.
I can't breathe. My heart is about to burst.
We might make it out if we cover ourselves with mud. There's so much grass here. I think it will camouflage us if we stay down.
Listen. They're trying to find us with the trucks.
It looks like they're covering every inch of ground.
They're trying to set the grass on fire with flares, but it keeps going out. They're leaving.
We have to wait until we're sure they're gone. It could be trapped.
Wow. What a narrow escape. We've got to get out of here before they come back.
We can go to mountains.
What's up there?
No Japanese, for one thing.
One thing? What else?
Pygmies.
Pygmies?
Oh, yes. They're little black people, very fierce. They don't like Japanese. Of course, they don't like Filipinos either.
How about Americans?
Probably not.
Then how can this help us?
I do not know, but I think we should try. Down here, we are sure to be killed.
That began a very strange adventure. It took some time, but finally I persuaded 2 pygmy boys to take me to their uncle. After that, while I tried to explain in a pygmy village my reasons for being there, I was able to successfully treat an agonizing sore on the leg of a little girl. And then the little people listened to me, and in time, I was able to set up a working relationship with the 40 family tribes.
You say we fight together, yes?
That's right. I'll teach you how.
We know how to fight, and we will if you bring us salt.
Right.
I'll get it from the lowland people. Yes?
Then we say yes.
That was the beginning of the Pygmy Negrito Scouts. In time, hundreds of Filipinos brought their families to us for safekeeping. Through them, we obtained information about enemy installations. The maps we drew reached Colonel Merrill on the western side of the mountains, and he was able to transmit them to the Southwest Pacific Forces. We had many ways of keeping the Japanese troops out of our mountain hideaways. Some of them were taught to us by the Pygmies.
We call this pig trap.
I see. Bamboo spears sharpened to a fine point, and when someone steps on the vines, he triggers the spear.
Man step on vine, dead.
I see. Tell me, do you have any other little tricks like this?
Oh, yes. Can kill other ways, too. We show you.
They did, too. The Pygmies, though primitive, were also a highly self-reliant and courageous people. With their help, we were able to keep our American flag flying over this place in the Philippines for 34 months. The Pygmies also saluted our flag as part of their drill. Then, at last, came the great day when the Americans landed. We ran out to meet them, followed by a stream of Pygmies. As we approached them, we began singing loudly to let the troops know we were Americans.
California, here I come. Right back where I started from.
Clay Connor's first great adventure was over, and in a minute he'll tell us about his next. The greatest weapon we have against every kind of evil is, and always will be, prayer. Seeking God's will and following it. Folks here at Pacific Garden Mission know the importance of prayer in breaking the shackles that keep people in bondage. And that's why we have a prayer band, warriors who fight on their knees with words of faith. As people ask for prayer, either at the mission or through letters and email, we send these requests on to our prayer band, and they lift these petitions to God, covering the person and the request with God's word. If you would like prayer for some person or situation, please feel free to write and ask for prayer. We are privileged to join you in seeking God's will for your life. If you would like to be part of our prayer band, just write and tell us. We send petitions every month or twice a month, whichever you prefer. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
My second greatest adventure happened this way. My tour of duty ended, and I established myself in the insurance business in Indianapolis. One of my clients was a successful dentist named Robert K. George. One of my co-workers had some information about him he thought I should know.
Dr. George? Oh, yeah, he's a fine fellow. You'll probably like him a lot. Of course, there is one thing.
Oh? What's that?
He's a religious fanatic. Why, he's likely to walk right up to you and say, "Are you a Christian?"
Ah. Well, thanks for the tip. I made up my mind that it was good business not to offend a client. I would politely listen to Dr. George, even if he did reveal his fanaticism. Of course, I didn't expect it to happen in a public restaurant.
Well, now, Clay, while they're bringing our meals, I'd like to read a little passage out of my favorite book.
What book is that, sir?
Just this, my boy.
Oh?
God's precious word. Listen, here's Jesus speaking to a fine woman of Bethany by the name of Martha. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Those are the Lord's own words, as recorded in the book of John, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Clay, have you ever had a real experience with your Creator?
Well,
I'm not sure.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Here you are. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Oh, no problem at all. Not at all. Looks good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly hungry.
So am I, but don't you think we ought to pray?
Pray. With all those people around us, I felt like a fool. I died a thousand deaths of embarrassment as Dr. George gave thanks for our food. I bowed my head and stroked my eyebrows like I knew what I was doing. And all during the meal, Dr. George kept telling me about Jesus.
Clay, I'm a lot older than you, and let me say this, I'm a happy man. But it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a strange thing, but in Christ, I find life far richer and sweeter than it ever was before. And yet, I can enjoy that sweetness and still be ready to die and go to a better life with Him. No fear of the grave, no regrets. This is what the Bible calls the peace that passeth all understanding.
His words stuck in my mind, but I still wanted none of that fanaticism for myself. Then, a month later, Dr. George called me again. Hello? Connor speaking.
Clay, I'm going on a retreat for men over in Ohio, and I'd like you to go along as my guest.
A retreat?
A fine bunch of men. You'll enjoy it.
Oh, well, Dr. George...
You can arrange your time, can't you? What do you say I pick you up Friday afternoon at 2? I'll see you then.
On the way to the retreat, Dr. George talked about how man has a free will to choose between God and Satan. And when we got there, I found men acting as though they actually enjoyed the retreat. They sang with such enthusiasm. And then some of them spoke.
My relationship with the Lord is not just for Sunday and for church. God is concerned with every phase of my life, including my business. A while ago, I asked him to be the senior partner in my business. And you know, my affairs are far better than ever before. The figures show it. My peace of mind shows it. And my family knows it. You see, I tithe to the church and give to other Christian organizations, and God continues to provide all that is needed. George Bernard Shaw, a famous British author, said, "I must be used, built into the solid fabric of life as far as there is any usable brick in me, and thrown aside when I am used up. It is only when I am being used that I can feel my own existence and enjoy my own life." Yeah. Now, philosophically, that's an interesting statement. But upon closer scrutiny, we realize that it's an empty and hollow declaration. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them."
Amen.
We are assured that we will not be used up and then thrown away, because we were made for God.
Yes.
And he will accomplish his purpose, and then he will take us to heaven. Oh, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established."
The next morning, Dr. George woke me at daybreak for a prayer meeting before breakfast. I couldn't believe that anyone would be there, but I was quite surprised.
Now, we're going to have a season of prayer.
A season of prayer? Well, they couldn't pray from September to Christmas, or could they? Well, bored and embarrassed, I began to listen as these kneeling men began to pray. Well, I was kneeling too, so as to not be conspicuous.
Lord, if there is anybody in this room who has never had a real experience with Jesus Christ, let him right now give his life to the Lord, that he might know the thrill that comes only from knowing Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior.
Without knowing it, that man was praying for me. I knew I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. I didn't even know what he was talking about.
And then, knowing only that these men from all walks of life and of all ages were happier and more peaceful than I. And I began to pray silently. Oh, Lord, I don't know what these men mean. I really don't. But if what they're saying about being saved and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ means that you want my life, Lord, I give it to you right now. From that moment on, I was perfectly comfortable among those praying men, and later, at breakfast, a man at the table asked me a question.
Clay, have you received the Lord Jesus as Savior?
Yes, sir. I just did. A little while ago, over in the prayer meeting.
Hallelujah, brother. Glory to God.
Clay, the angels in heaven are rejoicing over one who has come home.
Hey, fellas, let's pray all over again. All right. This time to thank God for giving us this new brother in Christ.
Clay Connor, war hero, successful businessman, loving husband, father, and grandfather, veteran of two great adventures, embarked on his ultimate adventure in 1983, his excursion into eternity. And that, my friend, is a journey we all will take one day. Our destination is determined by the decisions we make in this life. To all who have chosen Jesus Christ as Savior, he says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Friend, if you would like to know with certainty where you will spend eternity, just get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago is area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. You can help keep Unshackled on the air in your listening area just by writing a card or letter to the manager of this station expressing what this program means to you. And we would also appreciate hearing from you, just a note or email saying, "Thanks for Unshackled." This is program number 2525. Heard in the true story of Clay Connor were Jack Bivens, Larry Moran, Tom Chiappa, Lanny Lutz, and Doug Dudley. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Jack O'Dell, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Let us hear from you soon. Your correspondence really means a great deal to us. Our address is simply Unshackled in care of Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. You can email us at unshackled@pgm.org and visit our website at www.unshackled.org. If you feel in need of spiritual help now, you can call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. That's area 312-922-1462.